Well, depending upon which station you're hearing this on and when you're hearing it, Merry Christmas weekend or hello, happy week after Christmas. Regardless, this is Heartline, the weekly radio voice spotlighting the Evangel Home of Fresno, the Evangel Home ministering to women and children in crisis since way back in 1955. Your host on Heartline every week is Jim Tuck.
Good morning or afternoon or evening, wherever it is this program is airing as we open the mics for Heartline here on from Evangel Home of Fresno. Jerry Brenneman is here. We are in her office around the little table, and we have a guest as usual. First of all, good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Jim. We do know that it is Pacific time whenever this is airing.
That's whenever it's sure airing, yeah. As usual, we have a guest today, and we did a little more conversation before we opened the mic than we usually do with our guest, and her background, it turns out, is something of a passion of yours. And so rather than my kind of conducting this interview, I'll make comments, but it's so important to you, and you have so much experience with this kind of background, you're really in a better position to ask the questions and make observations than I. So I'm going to point the microphone, and here we go.
Okay, thank you. Well, hey, if I get to do the interview, I should be holding the microphone, don't you think? Don't you think, Chanel?
Yes.
No.
Control. Thank you, Jim. It is a passion of mine. And so just by default, Chanel would be a passion of mine. That passion is foster care kids who time out of the system. Hmm. And that's her situation.
So they reach 18, they're no longer available or eligible for foster care.
Exactly. And they're out of the system, and they're basically on their own, however long they've been in the system. And there are many, many, many good families in foster care. There's wonderful things about it, and Chanel might have had that experience. I hope
and she's nodding yes.
She's nodding yes. So she's had some good long-term folks in her life, I'm assuming. The tragedy of what I so often see in here is the young women that have bounced from place to place for years. I can't imagine what that does to a young person's self-esteem, to their security, to their relationships. Mm-hmm. But what I have seen with every such young woman, whether she's black, white, rich, poor, educated, not educated, there is a sameness in them that is just yelling for help, yelling for stability. But when they get close to it, they vanish. They're gone.
So do they have trust issues?
They have trust issues beyond our usual trust issues here. And Jim, you know, you've heard me say it for years now, that if people were to think of one or two things that all of our women have in common, all of our women, almost all of it is going to be trust. There are many, many other factors. But to the woman, they're not going to trust people. They're especially not going to trust other women, because it's a hard world out there, and other women have been nothing but competition for them. And then you come in here with a bunch of women, and it's like, whoa. But it's kind of neat, because if we got to deal with trust, God's brought them to a place where that's all they're going to have to deal with is trust. And they're going to have to trust people if they're going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. They're also going to have to trust themselves and learn to make better decisions. Mm-hmm. All of that. And then Chanel comes to us at Christmas time, and so it's wonderful Christmas craziness. Even as we're interviewing today, my office is full of bags with goodies in them. And this has been a tradition, and Chanel, I should have you close your ears for a few minutes, but she's pretending to put her fingers in her ears. I'm going to go ahead, Jim, while she's here, and explain why we have all these bags.
Okay.
Because Chanel, one of these bags has your name on it. And one of these bags has gifts that were purchased by a men's Bible study group for you and the women in here. Now, they have no idea, so you now have a secret. But what is so incredible to me, Chanel and Jim, is that it's a men's Bible study group that's been doing this for 10 or 12 years. Mm. They do not want the women in the programs. They do not want to go shopping for the children. They want the women in the crisis home, because they know those are the gals that have the most issues right now. And so this group of guys, they go out to Target every Christmas. There's another secret now. Put your fingers back in your ears, girl. And they get certain items. And then they bring them all back in here. And our long-term women, those in Crossroads and those in the garden, wrap these gifts and pray over them. So every bag has got gifts for the women in the crisis home. They've been purchased by total strangers, wrapped by women they scarcely know, and they will be given to them. So it's just... In addition, Chanel, before I talk and take the whole show, we better have you say something. You've only been here a week or so, correct?
Yes.
And it has been a flurry of activities. Let's start there. What have you seen going on in here, Christmas-wise?
Christmas-wise, we've had the program man come out, and they fed us dinner, and they gave us gift cards for our children.
That was Pilgrim Armenian Church. That's one of their traditions.
Yes.
Has Saints Rest been here yet?
They usually come at Christmas.
No. I don't think so. We had praise dancers come, and all three of them shared their testimony, which is wonderful. We've had Santa Claus come when the Pilgrim Armenian Church came.
Okay.
We've also had, last night we had, I can't think of the church name, but they also came last Wednesday and bring us gifts and stuff. So we've had a lot going on here. It's been...
And do you have any idea what's coming tonight?
I don't have any idea.
Okay. I do, but I'm not telling all of our secrets.
Chanel, how'd you come to be at Evangel Home?
My godmother. She comes here and volunteers. She comes and speaks to some of the women, and she told me about it. I was hesitant at first. You know, I'm not used to structure, you know, because I've bounced around from home to home, but... And coming here, it was hard. You know, I had to get used to the structure and the rules, but I love it here. I honestly do. I wouldn't want to be nowhere else.
So you were in the foster care system until you were 18. Then you were no longer eligible for foster care. What's been your situation? You told us off mic that you're 22. So for the last 4 years, what's your life been?
Just bouncing around, living with everybody and...
Family?
Not really family, just friends of friends or... people like my foster mom's daughter, you know, just everybody, you know, nowhere stable.
I want to back up because you were in foster care, obviously, because you don't have a strong biological family support. Can you talk about that at all?
My dad, you know, wasn't that great of a man. You know, he did things to me that, you know, very unspeakable, you know, and I didn't feel the love that I should have felt from my father and my family, you know, so we got, me and my brothers and sisters, we got taken away.
And where was your mom in all of this?
She was there. They actually got remarried in us being in foster care.
Okay. Do you have any connection now with your parents?
No.
And that's by your choice now?
Yes.
Okay.
So you've been staying with friends. Were you at any point living on the street?
No. I mean, when I was younger, bouncing around, you know, I used to wander at nighttime during the street because I was to run away from my foster home and try to find somebody house to go to. But as far as, like, sleeping on benches and stuff, no. I thank God I haven't got to that point of being homeless. I've been homeless, but not to been outside and sleeping on the ground and stuff, no.
Well, we're not going to let that happen, I hope.
Right.
I don't know.
So, what have you been in the workplace?
I've had 3 jobs since the whole time I've been living. And
you're only 22. That's not bad.
Yeah. And the last job I had was at Dugout Cookie. And it was a good job, but I chose to walk out on it and go to Job Corps. Didn't finish Job Corps because went up there for the wrong reasons. So, yeah, I've had 3 jobs.
Mm. But you strike me as being somewhat wise. You're learning from your mistakes. I think you have an opportunity to learn from those mistakes and kind of keep adjusting your path rather than keep making the same old mistakes and then blaming everyone else. Mm-hmm. I see a little light at the end of the tunnel for you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I got baptized when I was 16, you know, but I didn't actually start living the Christian life until I'm just 2 weeks ago, you know, to be honest, you know, and that's because I didn't want to listen to what God had to say, you know. I always looked at God as being strict, and I can't do this, I can't do that, but all the rules and commands he's given me is just to help me better myself, you know. So now that I've been in the Evangel Home, and I'm getting the help I need, and the women have been on me the way they're supposed to be on me, you know, it's helped me just learn from my decisions and don't make the same thing. And plus my son, I love him, you know, so I try to stay on the right path for him.
He's what, 1? Is he about a year?
Yeah, he's about a year.
Mm-hmm. What about, you said siblings, do you have a relationship with him?
I have a relationship with my brothers and my sisters. I don't get to see them often because 2 of them are in Florida. 1 is still in foster care. My other brother's somewhere out there.
Wow.
So you don't really have a lot of contact with him?
Not really, no.
Okay.
You know, I have another question here for you, Chanel. You're gonna feel kind of tired after this. It's you obviously did not have the ideal upbringing. You wouldn't have planned that for yourself. How are you going to make it different for your son?
Just thinking about what my parents did, you know, and all the wrong decisions that they made. And even though I've made some myself with my son being only on this earth for a year, you know, I have the chance to make good decisions and, you know, and teach him and do all the things that my parents didn't do. And because I went through all that hurt and pain and the loss of not having a mom and dad, you know, I want to be able to be there for my son, you know, and take what my parents did for wrong, you know, turn it into good and try to use it as, yeah, just use it as good for my son, you know, and do the best that I can by him and be the best mom that I know how to be. And with reading the word and going to chapel at the Evangel home and talking to some of the women who stays here and some of the staff who work here, I'll be just fine.
So much of life is about our choices. There are people who live in a wonderful nuclear family with all the right training, and then they get to a certain crisis point and they choose poorly. And other people, like Chanel, lived in an environment that was so poor early on. We don't know really about your foster situations, but with so little guidance, and yet come to a crisis point and they decide to make the right choices. It's an interesting dynamic.
I think, you know, part of that is just is our very soul, that, yeah, you know, we don't know what we are born with exactly. I mean, she came into this world with a soul. And I was reading one of the scriptures the other day in 1 Peter, and it talked about returning to the shepherd, the overseer of our soul. Mm. I love that. I, you know, how many times have I read that? Mm-hmm. And how many times have I reflected on shepherd? Mm-hmm. But the word overseer, I feel so protected. And that's where I think Chanel, somehow, she has had an overseer of her soul her whole life, maybe without knowing it. Hmm. And now it's going to make those choices a little easier to follow if she can just stake the claim.
Well, believe it or not, we are through. That's the end of our time together this morning. Suppressing a cough here. Pardon me while I look away and look panicked there for a second. Chanel, thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing. We wish you only the best. My listening friends, what a target for your prayers for Chanel as her whole future family decisions have to be made here in the next few weeks that will determine long-term events for Chanel.
Chanel is the kind of woman that if she decides to stay here or whatever, we can be of future help, is why we're here.
All right. There you have it. And we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, my listening friend. What a delight to have you here on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno. Find them online at evangelhome.org. Again, evangelhome.org. That phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline. We'll talk to you next time.